Case number 13-5137, Public Investors Arbitration Bar Association Appellant versus Securities and Exchange Commission. Ms. Murray for the appellant, Ms. Shim for the appellate.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Julie Murray here on behalf of Appellant Public Investors Arbitration Bar Association. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal time. The key issue in this case is whether the term examination report, as used in FOIA Exemption 8, covers records regarding the SEC's oversight of FINRA's arbitration regime, specifically FINRA's policies and procedures relating to the selection, appointment, and removal of its arbitrators. The dispute in this case is actually, I think, quite narrow because the parties agree that this court must look beyond the FOIA statute in order to define the term examination report. We believe that the congressional record is the best indicator of what Congress had in mind when it used that term in FOIA Exemption 8. As we discussed in our brief at pages 25 to 32,
all the legislative history you cite came before Congress amended the exemption in section 24, whatever, mm-hmm. section 78XE.
That's right, Your Honor.
So why is that? Even if you're right that legislative history was relevant to interpreting the pre-amended statute, don't we look at the new language to see what all this means?
I don't think so, Your Honor. Right. As we said in our brief, we think that the 2010 amendment is irrelevant with respect to how you determine what an examination operating or condition report is. Certainly, the 2010 amendment, it was a new ballgame with respect to what is a financial institution and whether the SEC is an agency responsible for the regulation of financial institutions. But Congress, in amending the statute in 2010, did not change the meaning of what constitutes an examination operating or condition report. And I think
it depends on what is a financial institution. Let me give you a hypothetical. Suppose Congress, impressed with the enormous talent and probity of the Securities and Exchange Commission, and distressed at head injuries in professional football, passed legislation delegating to the commission responsibility for investigating the circumstances under which professional football players seem to be suffering excessive head injuries. And the SEC, taking on that responsibility as it must, does an examination of professional football and staff writes a report. Isn't that covered under Exemption 8?
I would say it's plainly not covered, Your Honor.
Why?
Well, I think...
Because it's now a financial institution, right?
It is a financial institution.
Has become a financial institution.
But the language, examination operator or condition reports in Exemption 8, has not changed. And I think in order... what the SEC urges this court to do, and does so implicitly, is to read into Exemption 8 essentially a cross-reference to the Exchange Act or to other financial regulators' organic statutes, that any time the word examination is used...
No, that's pretty simple. It just means whatever is the target of investigation, whatever it is by definition under the statutory amendment, is a financial institution.
It's a financial...
So therefore, it can be a totally non-financial institution, like my professional football, and it's a financial institution under the statute. So it doesn't make any sense to any longer look to what was, what you did look to when it was only a bank.
I don't think that's right, Your Honor, because Congress explicitly left in place examination operating or condition reports. It didn't change that language.
Let me ask you Judge Sloan's question from a different direction. Okay, you're right. They left that unchanged. Do you know, suppose we find out, that, well, let me ask you this. If you're right, if your definition of what examination reports are is correct, does FINRA collect anything like that?
Does FINRA? Certainly they do. For example, we note in our brief, FINRA actually does examinations itself as a regulator of broker-dealers and produces examination reports, which presumably, you know, the SEC has the authority to get from FINRA. So there may well be SEC documents that are examination reports that FINRA itself has produced of broker-dealers. And there may be other instances with respect to FINRA or with respect to other self-regulatory organizations in which the SEC does an inspection, and the inspection is of the kind of financial activities that we're talking about. For example, an inspection of a stock exchange. There may be examples of that in which the language of the 2010 amendment was clarifying with respect to the SEC's ability to withhold documents of entities regulated by the agency, but it doesn't therefore expand the scope of what an examination report itself would constitute. And, you know, if I can make one point with respect to the 2010 amendment as well, if this court were to read the 2010 amendment in the way Your Honors are suggesting, I think it puts us back in the world that Congress found untenable with respect to Section 929I of Dodd-Frank. Because under that, you had statements from sponsors of the 2010 amendment saying, it's simply not tenable that you know, everything the SEC gets in the course of its examination authority could be withheld from the public. And that's precisely, I think, the outcome that would pass if the SEC's definition were accepted, so long as the SEC has done anything in writing to memorialize that authority.
It does look like the language that the Congress arrived at, the draftsman arrived at, is not consistent with what some congressmen thought was the problem. That happens.
It certainly happens, Your Honor. I think, you know, the best explanation...
Your view is we should ignore what Congress said.
Well, I don't think you should ignore what Congress said, but I think that it has to be, even on the plain language of the 2010 amendment, it is limited in scope, and I think that it's
Why is it limited? Anything the commission is responsible for regulating, supervising, examining under this chapter is a financial institution.
And I think
so it can be zoos, it can be looking at elephants, it can be looking at anything. It's a financial institution.
I think that that would make all the difference, Your Honor, if exemption, the fact that Congress redefined financial institution in 2010, if Exemption 8 were limited to material prepared by, on behalf of, or for the use of an agency responsible for regulating financial institutions, then I think that it makes all the difference there, because Congress redefined what a financial institution is and said that the SEC is clearly an agency responsible for the regulation of such entities. But by leaving in examination operating or condition reports and not changing the meaning of that term, I think that Exemption 8, and that's consistent with Congress's intent.
Why is there some magic to the phrase examination or report? I mean, it's pretty obvious what that can mean. That no longer has a restricted meaning referring to what it used to refer to as bank regulatory reports. If you just look at the language of such a report, can be any kind of report, right?
I don't think that's right, Your Honor, and I think the SEC itself concedes that, because they acknowledge that you have to look to the Exchange Act in order to determine what an examination is, that it's not plain on its face, the statute is not plain on its face as to how you define that term. So under either rubric being advanced here, the court has to look elsewhere. And I think...
Well, suppose in my hypothetical that Congress gives the SEC authority to look into to regulate professional football injuries. And that, under those circumstances, the term examination would be looked at as under the Securities and Exchange Act?
No, our position is that you don't look to the Exchange Act to define the term examination. So I think separate and apart from the definition that we advance, which your analogy with the NFL would not meet, I think if you don't look to the Exchange Act at all, it doesn't matter that Congress has redefined in the Exchange Act a new kind of examination far afield of the SEC's traditional
responsibility. But even if you don't look to the Exchange Act, you seem to be focusing on this language, examination, operation, or condition.
Mm-hmm.
But what limits that language? In other words, why does any of that result in a term of art that somehow narrows down what kind of report we're talking about?
Well, I think it is, as we have argued in our brief, I think the congressional record really is the best indicator of the fact that Congress was using this as a term of art in the financial industry. And, you know, for example, at page 26 and 27 of our brief, we have an extended witness testimony talking about, here is what an examination report is. This
but
is
those
the kind
are
of
witnesses
information that's
testifying
in it.
Before Congress, right?
I'm sorry?
Those are witnesses testifying before Congress.
That's correct,
Your Honor. I mean, I've never seen that used as evidence of legislative intent.
Well, certainly they were the same agency. They were witnesses on behalf of the agencies that were pushing for the exemption in the first place. And for example, we cited the comment from Senator Long saying in his experience in banking, an examination report would contain customer financial information only in the most dire of circumstances. So the evidence that we cited was not exclusively of witnesses, but I think the fact that it is evidence of agencies of the federal government who were, in fact, the advocates for Exemption 8, in large part, is quite telling.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about the second issue, just a quick question about
sure.
that, and that is whether it needs to be related to a report. The district court said that in any event, these all were related to reports. So, and that's a finding by the district court. What's the argument for us not using the same approach?
Well, two points. One, sort of a clarification, Your Honor. The district court did make that conclusion. I think that it's a fair reading of her decision that it was a two-part holding. One is that these are all related to reports. The other is that you don't need to relate them to reports, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to whether it's a finding, I mean, certainly we're here on summary judgment. So to the extent it was a factual finding, that would have been inappropriate at the summary judgment stage anyway.
So tell me why the district judge was wrong about that.
Well,
is it because of the and/or language that you rely on in the affidavit?
In part, yes, mm-hmm. Your Honor. So the district court said in the Ms. Lever stated in her affidavit that the responsive records related to either one of four examinations and or
right.
consumer complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also critical to note, I believe it's paragraph 12 of the
Do you have the affidavit there in front of you? Why don't you get it? Just let's talk about it for a minute.
Sure. Yes, I
you
have.
You guys there, take a look at paragraphs 9 and 10. Don't they say that it says, that even complaints, which paragraph 10 says are carried out pursuant to the commission's, investigated pursuant to the commission's authority, result in reports or writings? That's what it says. Paragraph 9 says each examination described in paragraph 7 and 8's a complaint.
That's right, Your Honor.
Resulted in a writing. And then paragraph 10 says each examination in 7 and 8, again, complaints, was mm-hmm. conducted as part of the Commission's Exchange Act authority. So the affidavit seems to resolve the issue.
Well, I don't think so, Your Honor, other than calling something an examination.
But this is an affidavit that's unchallenged. There's no contrary evidence in the record.
Well, I think that it's separate and apart from the evidence, Your Honor. The SEC's legal theory now on appeal is that for an examination, you look to Exchange Act Section 78QB, and that is where the SEC's examination authority is derived.
Okay.
Even if this court were to accept that theory, that authority is an authority to examine documents of FINRA and other regulated entities. So you'll notice, for example, in paragraph 14 of the Lever Declaration, Ms. Lever states that when the SEC obtained consumer complaints, it would have investigated, and it may have consulted FINRA or FINRA records. So even under the SEC's theory of what an examination is and an examination report, simply calling the consumer complaints an investigation does not make them so in light of paragraph 14 of the Lever Declaration, which makes clear that FINRA documents may not have even been consulted in the course of the investigation.
But it's still related, isn't it?
Related?
The complaints are still related to the report.
The consumer complaints certainly would be related to arbitrations, but what the question under Exemption 8 is whether they're related to an examination report.
Well, I'm asking, why aren't they related to the report?
They may be related to the SEC's definition of a report, but if the SEC's definition of examination report hinges on an examination under Section 78QB, and that itself hinges on reviewing documents of FINRA. Here, Ms. Lever's own evidence does not show that as a whole, the records at issue uniformly would meet that standard, even if this court were to reject what we think is the appropriate interpretation of Exemption 8. I see that I'm into my time. The court has no further questions at this point.
No, we're done. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Karen Schimpf on behalf of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Your Honors, the SEC is asking the court to affirm the district court's conclusion that the SEC has properly asserted Exemption 8 in declining to publicize documents requested by PIAPA because the district court correctly applied this court's longstanding precedent to the simple facts of this case. FOIA Exemption 8 is not a particularly complex or highly technical provision. It gives the government discretion to withhold information that is contained in or related to examination, operating, or condition reports. In this case, we agree that is the only question that is in dispute between the parties. Are the documents requested by PIAPA contained in or even just related to examination, operating, or condition reports? That is very broad language, and indeed, this court has recognized for almost 40 years that FOIA is written very broadly. It is to be construed very broadly in accordance with the
not
plain
FOIA generally,
language.
Just Exemption 8.
Exemption 8, yes, I'm sorry if I misspoke. Exemption 8 is written
the
broadly.
The district court said that your broad interpretation of the statute would, quote, allow the SEC to withhold everything it scoops up in its course of actions with FINRA. Is that accurate?
No, Your Honor. If it only protects documents that come into the commission through an examination. If there were an investigation, for example, by our Division of Enforcement, I don't know that FINRA has anything with our corporation finance but if it does, those documents, the SEC has not asserted Exemption 8
to
protect.
Are there things, let's assume that the petitioners were correct. The appellants were correct about their definition of examination report. Are there things that FINRA does that would have to be released under FOIA?
If they were in an examination file or if they were in an investigative file in enforcement? If they were in the examination office as a result of an examination, then
done by FINRA.
An examination of the SEC, including of examinations done by FINRA.
So FINRA does do the kinds of examinations that fit appellant's definition.
I believe so. I could get confirmation of that. But they do their own examinations. But even
because if they don't, then isn't the district court correct that there's nothing that FINRA does that could be that would be disclosable?
If it has come to the SEC through the SEC's examination authority, we do believe that Exemption 8 protects all of those materials. That is
okay,
our position.
Then let me try once more. Is there anything that FINRA does that doesn't come to the SEC through its examination authority?
And that's why I said if it came to the SEC through our investigative authority in our Division of Enforcement, and that has happened.
What would that be? Give me an example.
So if for example, I imagine, and I can get confirmation if need be, or I'll get hit with a note here in a minute, but I imagine that if there's an investigation of a broker-dealer and there had been an examination by FINRA of that broker-dealer and there were relevant records, that those records may wind up, even though they're in our also in our examinations office where they're protected by 8, they may also wind up in an investigative file, and if it's used in litigation, then we're not asserting Exemption 8 to protect
those.
At that
sounds to me that's exactly what Ms. Murray said. So you two agree about that. That's good. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure that we do, but I
sounds to me like you do.
Would love to make the court happy.
Yeah. But the key to your it seems to me, is to which office of the SEC is involved? That's
because
how you define the word examination?
Because of the different types of authority that are exercised. So it so happens that as the agency is organized, this is not the defining characteristic, but it so happens that the way we're organized, most of the materials come in through, if it's an examination-related situation where we would be asserting Exemption 8, they will have come in through our Office of Compliance Inspections and Examinations. They may also have come in through our Division of Trading and Markets or our Investment Management.
So in other
management.
Words, if you do an examination, and as in the process of the examination you think, uh-oh, there may be a violation of law here, so you switch it over to your investigative division, then Exemption 8 no longer applies?
Right. Once they go over to an investigation and we're exercising our investigative authority, the commission has not asserted Exemption 8 in those situations. We assert it when there are examinations to protect the examination relationship. Once there's an investigation of wrongdoing by FINRA, that's
Your definition of the language depends on which office of the SEC is involved? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Depends on which authority the agency is using. We have examination authority. We also have investigative authority, and they are not the same authority. So here, exercising the examination authority, which happens to have been done by, but if hypothetically it had been done, an examination had been done by our Division of Enforcement, it's not how it operates, but if it had been, Exemption 8 would still apply. It's not the office. It's the substance.
OCIE seems to be the unit that responded to this request, but was the FOIA request directed to that unit? In other words, if I assume from what you're saying that if they had asked this of the investigative unit, they might have been more successful.
Actually, the way it works at the SEC is that the FOIA request comes into a FOIA office, and the FOIA office then looks at the scope of the request to determine what might be relevant and responsive.
So the SEC directed it to the OCIE.
Right, because they're the only office that might have documents responsive to this request, which was for examinations of FINRA. They used synonyms, but that's what they asked for.
So it's because they used the word examination rather than investigation.
If they had sought investigations, then that would be a different situation, yes, and would have been analyzed differently.
I think that sounds a little bizarre. But,
Well, when we investigate FINRA for wrongdoing, we're not as concerned, Congress was not as concerned about maintaining the cooperative relationship. When we're in there on an examination.
Yes, but disclosing investigative files is something government enforcement agencies fight like hell against. That's why I'm sort of puzzled about it.
Certainly while an investigation is ongoing.
Okay. So you wouldn't disclose it while it was ongoing. You'd rely on another exemption.
Right. There are other exemptions, exactly.
Just not Exemption 8.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Okay. I got it.
So what... I'm sorry.
Well, I wanted to ask about something in the affidavit there's a statement that FINRA requested FOIA confidential treatment for documents provided in connection with one or more of the examinations described in paragraph 7 and 8, which seems to suggest that they didn't request confidential treatment for all of them.
And that is my understanding of the factual situation. However, Exemption 8 does not depend on whether the requester has specifically marked it's a backstop in case Exemption 8 were found not to apply.
So even if the entity that's being examined doesn't expect confidentiality, the SEC would nevertheless provide it under Exemption 8 if you felt like it falled within the ambit of Exemption 8. Correct.
I think that they do expect confidentiality and specifically marked probably the most sensitive documents that would be withholdable also under, for example, Exemption 4, which deals with the confidential financial materials. So the fact that they didn't stamp everything, given the 40 years of history in this circuit that stands unchallenged, that Exemption 8 is to be applied broadly, that's a backstop in case of some change in the law. And again, this was, I believe, yes, these were all before the 2010 exemption, so there was still the question, there was favorable district court authority, but not yet any circuit court authority on how far a financial institution could be defined. So there was uncertainty about whether FINRA would have been a financial institution before this court, even though it had won on that issue. We had prevailed on that issue in the district court.
Can I have just a follow-up? I was going to ask you the same question Judge Brown did. I had thought, because you didn't answer it, and they argued this in their brief, and I didn't see a response in your brief to this argument that FINRA had not requested confidentiality. Did I miss anything? I didn't see a response.
I'd have to reread our brief.
You don't need to. It's not there. Don't worry. I checked.
Okay.
But I thought...
That's an oversight, then.
That's right. I thought... When I saw that, my reaction was that the answer was that these regulations were designed to protect individuals who had submitted materials to the Commission or to FINRA, to protect them from having their materials released under FOIA if they didn't want to. In other words, people who had submitted information to the agency that was a subject of a FOIA request could object. And the Commission would take that into account. Am I understanding that regulation correctly?
Yes, I believe that we're all understanding it correctly. The question is...
So it doesn't make any difference whether FINRA asked for confidentiality or not. It's not designed for that.
That's correct,
John. Is that right? Okay. I have just one other question.
I'm being assured it's correct.
Could you... Ms. Marie's, her argument is... I just want to ask you what your best answer is to their core argument, which is that examination report is a term of art, that the that 78XE didn't change that. All it did was explain who's a financial institution. And that, so what's your best answer to that?
In 1967, when Congress enacted FOIA, Exemption 8 was part of the original act. Right. It has not been changed in the almost 50 years since. They used plain language. They said examination, operating, or condition reports. They did not define that as a specific term. So it is looking at the plain language of the provision. It's an examination report, a writing about an examination. And I would point to the court's attention, while it's in a concurrence, Chief Judge J. Skelly Wright, a similar issue was presented in Consumers Union. And his quote was, there it was the Truth in Lending Act that somebody said changed the situation. He said, here the change in circumstances was affected by Congress. If Exemption 8 has become an anachronism as applied here, it is the Congress that so rendered it. Congress has made it clear since 2010 that all entities examined by the SEC are financial institutions. So whatever the language in the legislative history may have been back in 1966, the plain language.
It doesn't change the definition. They didn't change the definition of examination report.
Because that was never a defined term. And so...
Right, but whether who's included, which agencies or institutions are included in the definition of financial institutions does not affect the definition of examination report, does it? Or the meaning of it.
Right. Examination report is a plain language.
You're going to answer yes to that? I would think that your answer was, of course, the nature of an examination changes when the institution that or group of institutions that are being examined change. In other words, using my hypothetical, if the SEC is given authority to look into professional football to determine whether injuries are caused by helmets, and you do an examination of that, wouldn't it be covered by Exemption 8?
So less eloquently than I'm sure I would have, but that was going to be my point, that yes, it's a plain language.
The term examination changes when you look at the target. And the target by Congress has now said everything's a financial institution, which means, after all, that any target of examination is covered under Exemption 8.
So looking at the plain language, examination report is any report about an examination. That's the SEC's position. Okay. And it is the natural reading and consistent with this court's almost 40 years of precedent.
Okay.
If the court has no other questions, thank you.
Thank you. I think Ms. Murray was out of time. You can take 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a few quick points. At the outset, one thing that Ms. Shimp said, and we strongly disagree with it, is that although this court has said in its Exemption 8 cases that Exemption 8 is drafted broadly, it has never said that Exemption 8, unlike FOIA, is to be construed broadly as well. And so to the extent that there's ambiguity in Exemption 8, which I think the SEC, although they take a plain language approach today, by conceding that you look to the Exchange Act, I think we're not in a plain language world here. There is ambiguity, and so the question is, how do you resolve it? I think you have to resolve it in favor of a narrow reading of Exemption 8.
I don't see why the nature of the examination doesn't change based on the target. And Congress said any target is, quote, a financial institution, which means there's no limitation.
I think that it has to be, Your Honor, and if the 2010 amendment has the import that I think Your Honor is suggesting it does, then it simply cannot be that the SEC's position, in which its entire office of compliance inspections and examinations, from the sounds of it, all of those records would be exempt from disclosure, when the reason that Congress amended Section 929I was precisely because it found untenable this idea that everything that the SEC gets in the course of its examination authority would be exempt from disclosure. So it creates the exact same world that Congress was trying to avoid by the 2010 amendment. The last point that I would make with respect to...
Well, it's not so clear that Congress was intended, as Judge Tatel pointed out. Certain witnesses had that view, and maybe one congressman.
Well, in the 2010 amendment, though, I think there were, in terms of the actual sponsors of the legislation and the purpose that they put forward, that I think was, we're not relying on witnesses with respect to those statements. The only other thing that I would say about...
Let me just ask you one thing about that. Section, the repealed provision,
929I.
That was a general provision which would have protected documents from disclosure from any source, right? This is the new provision is much narrower. It's just a FOIA provision.
That's correct, Your Honor. 929I was intended both to expand, I think, the SEC's authority to withhold under FOIA, but also in response to subpoenas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's correct.
And now the statute, the exemption is now just a FOIA exemption. So it's a narrower.
That's correct, Your Honor. It was a narrowing, and we think that it didn't change examination operating or condition report. The only other point that I would make before closing with respect to Ms. Shemp's plain language argument is that if you were to read examination operating and condition reports, let's say it's a plain language, this court has to give some effect to what an operating or condition report is. And as I understand her argument, because it would sweep in anything that the SEC gets in its examination authority, It's hard to imagine what an operating or conditioned report would be. So if we are looking at a plain language world, as she urges, I think even under that theory of the case, the SEC's definition of examination report simply doesn't work.
Your concern is the words operating and or conditioned are surplusage under their interpretation?
Well, that's right. Because
is that your argument?
If you were to give examination
the broad meaning that they do. Then the words operating or conditioned.
That's right, because in an examination, as they define it, you look at operating and conditions.
Congress does that all the time. Puts in language a series of adjectives or nouns that are duplicative. We want to make sure.
We never do that, right?
I will not question that. Your Honor, have no further questions.
I'm not going to answer that either.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you both. Case is submitted.